Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Lab podcast. I am your host, Alex Goldberg, joined by Dr. Dustin Quinn. There's really not a whole lot to say. The Boston Celtics are down 0-2 after giving both of their first two games at home away in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Miami Heat are headed back to Miami with a 2-0 lead. This is a devastating moment in a season where the Celtics have up to now had a real shot at the title, and it feels like it's slipping away before our eyes. Justin, how are you?
Unfortunately, thinking about what I'm going to be doing with my summer a lot sooner than I thought I was. Apart from that, not so great. That was really painful to watch. We can get into some of the reasons why, but for much of this game, it looked like it was pretty winnable.
Oh, it was very winnable. Jason Tatum, the Celtics superstar, for the most part, showed up. He made plays. He scored. When the defense was doubling, he did a good job addressing it. Everybody else, not so much. Joe Mazzulla got handily outcoached. All of the doomers appear to have been right. I feel terrible for believing in this team. I feel stupid. I feel embarrassed for ever thinking that they would be legit enough to have a chance. And I hated watching pretty much all of that fourth quarter. And it's the most upset I've been as a Celtics fan that I can remember. And I was at game six of the finals last year. So
yeah,
here we are. This episode of the Celtics Lab podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of CLNS Media Network, and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy. Let's get into it. What are your kind of general impressions of the past? I don't know what to say, Justin. I really don't. Anyway.
I really think that we could just take a podcast from the last game of the finals last year and just like edit out some of the things that were said about the Warriors and just put in Team X. This time it is the Miami Heat. And they appear to be a team that values every possession, that plays for each other without fail, rarely makes defensive lapses, and plays with the heart of a champion. And I can only say those things about the Celtics for very short periods of time in any consecutive moment to the next. So there's really no path forward for them if they aren't going to play like they want to win, and they are not playing like they want to win. So I don't expect things to change. It's still, you know, we can go back to, I think it was the 2014 playoffs. I can't remember what year it was, but it was fairly early on in the rebuild where they faced a Jimmy Butler and went down 0-2 when he was on the Chicago Bulls. But I'm not entirely sure that we are going to be in a similar situation this time around.
It sure doesn't feel like it. And you know, there's a bunch of reasons why. Like, I think the first thing that we have to do is give credit to Miami. They played a really excellent basketball game. Jimmy Butler is a true blue superstar, the ultimate playoff riser. I can't think of anybody who accelerates his game more from the regular season to the playoffs. Miami's role players stepped up. Caleb Martin was great tonight. Max Strus was a valuable player as well. Duncan Robinson, all those guys came in, hit threes, defended. Gabe Vincent had a couple of clutch buckets late. Bam Adebayo was very good. And Miami is, you know, really well coached, really disciplined. It's exactly what we expected. They do not beat themselves under any circumstances. You have to beat them. And the Celtics did not do that. There were some moments where they might have been able to do that. So at the beginning of the second quarter, they went on a 24-4 run. Jason Tatum was playing great. They were doing a really nice job defending. In general, it seemed like the Celtics swung back after an early Miami flurry and were really in this game. And then they subsequently gave up a 10-2 run. Caleb Martin was a huge part of that. I guess my big first half takeaway is that there's two kind of players in the Celtics that really had a very rough night. And it was apparent from opening tip. Jaylen Brown, he got points, but he was absent
not a good game.
Far as yeah. affecting the game. You know, he just didn't have a good game.
And his decision making, like charging into the crowds multiple times, losing the ball, not even like getting stripped, just losing the ball. Like,
he was really bad. And this is a guy who wants $300 million this offseason. And you know,
he's gonna get
He's gonna be a Boston Celtic next year, in all likelihood. I think it would be kind of crazy to let him go, but this is not what you want out of a guy who's going to get that kind of money. And then the other guy that we have to talk about is Al Horford, who has been getting tossed around this series. And it is now at the point where his three-point shooting is no longer sustainable.
It's like, not a thing.
You can't have a starting center who's taking that many threes and missing them. It's just, it throttles your offense. And Bam put him in the weight room multiple times.
He left him alone by himself to defend him.
Oh yeah, no, the defense. I mean, we can get into the coaching because, yeah, sure, that's a fine pivot. The coaching, yeah, I'll let you go first. What did you see from the coaching? Because
Don't want to talk about the coaching directly first, but I do. And actually, I want to pull it back an entire other game and talk about a player who did not play in that game. Who did play in this game and did not play enough in this game and should have been playing more this season to give Al Horford legs. And now we are in a situation where Al Horford did not suddenly turn into a pumpkin. He's old. He's closer to my age than your age. We won't talk about how old that is. And honestly, at this point in his career, he can still be very effective, but he needs to be well-rested. And he has not been well-rested. And it was clear he was not well-rested in this game. And it was clear he needed to go and sit and someone come in for him. And instead, he takes out Grant!
Yeah.
But let's talk about the other coaching.
I mean, where to even begin? So,
let's one be clear. Of the- in the past, Joe has probably been overly criticized for his coaching. In this game,
and really in this series, let's be clear, Eric Spoelstra, we were concerned about the coaching matchup heading into this. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the game, bar none. But the difference has been staggering. Joe has been getting soundly outcoached in this series. The zone defense has actually largely not been the Celtics' biggest problem, the kind of zone defense that's typically given them trouble in the past. Tatum has done a nice job breaking that down. And in particular, Tatum and Rob Williams have done a nice job dissecting that zone defense. For Joe, the issues that I'm seeing are mostly rotation-based. So as you mentioned, there's the inconsistency with Grant Williams. There's the fact that Peyton Pritchard played any minutes at all in game one, when frankly, he cannot be in this series. He just can't. Robert Williams needs to play 34 minutes a game at a minimum. He needs to be out there pretty much all the time because he actually has affected Bam Adebayo. He actually has been able to get in his way to make life difficult for him and to be an incredibly valuable presence around the rim. Robert Williams has to play more minutes. Grant Williams, you know, a lot is going to be made of Grant Williams poking the bear, so to speak, against Jimmy Butler. I think Grant
Here's
Williams
an idea. Had a, How about someone help him defend him?
I thought Grant Williams had a fine game.
He did.
You can't leave Grant Williams on an island against Miami's best player. The fact that there were no doubles of any kind and that Jimmy Butler was allowed to go one-on-one in rapid succession against whoever he wanted. Grant Williams, come here. Derek White, come here. Malcolm Brogdon, come here. Jimmy Butler completely orchestrated the offense in the fourth quarter, and the Celtics didn't even attempt to respond to that. They just let him go. And when Miami needed to turn up and put that game away, what do you see? High double on Jason Tatum, get the ball out of his hands. You see switch all of our lanky long defenders onto Jaylen Brown, swat at him in traffic, make him give up the ball. We will live with Al Horford and Grant Williams taking as many shots as they want. Like the fourth quarter was, I think, to a T, exactly what our issues with this coaching matchup is. Like there were no... There was no attempt to really stop Jimmy Butler that didn't involve just single coverage and like clear out an entire side of the floor for him. And now the Celtics are down 0-2.
The lack of timeout in the last 10 seconds, is there a reason you can think of to not try?
No, there isn't. I think the, you know, I mean, I for what it's worth, I don't think it's particularly likely that it would have won the Celtics the game.
Of course not, but
they would have lost.
Better to try.
Better to try, for sure. And, you know, in general, like, this is a series where the Celtics are now presumably going to lose the series, barring an incredible comeback, which is not without precedent. It has happened before in the NBA where the home team has gone down 0-2 and won the series. It could happen again. We're not there yet. But it sure seems like the Celtics are going to lose this series. And if they lose this series in the fashion that they do, just getting their pants pulled down like this, there's going to be real questions about Joe Mazzulla and whether he can be the guy for this team. Now, I think Joe Mazzulla has done a pretty good job this year, given the circumstances that he's been in. But if the Celtics get rocked by Miami, much like Mike Budenholzer got rocked by Miami and then was out of a job immediately, there's a real chance that the Celtics will have their fourth head coach in 4 years, which is something that
against that. But honestly, you say it.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, you know, you would expect from, like, the Houston Rockets, or the current Houston Rockets, rather, or, you know, the Detroit Pistons, an organization that's in complete chaos and flux. Boston is in a position where they will have to make possibly the hardest coaching decision that I can think of in NBA, and it's since I've been watching the NBA this offseason, if they lose this series. Like, I think there will be a real argument that the Celtics need a more experienced presence on the bench to make this championship.
Even if they keep him, they absolutely have to. And I thought that it was an incredibly stupid move not to do anything to add anyone to that coaching staff, even if they aren't experienced for the rest of the season.
For sure. But what's tricky about that is if you hire that person, then especially if it's an experienced person like a Frank Vogel or a Mike D'Antoni to be an assistant, the second that there are questions for the Celtics next year, people are going to be asking, why isn't the more experienced guy stepping up to be the head coach? That's going to be automatic. And the alternative to that is, again, you fire Joe Mazzulla, you bring in another head coach. That's Jason Tatum's fourth head coach in 4 years. Most superstars in the NBA are not fans of changes like that, change on that level. Now, occasionally superstars and coaches butt heads, and in that situation, the superstar always wins. But Joe Mazzulla had Jason Tatum's endorsement heading into this year. By all accounts, their relationship is good.
Players don't always have their own best interests when making decisions in jobs and other areas of the sport that they aren't necessarily super experienced in. It might be time to look for someone who maybe fits the bill. I mean, I understand completely that in the context of how it came to be in the first place, there really weren't many other options given the amount of time. But now there will be time if that does end up happening. So in my mind, even if they make a series of this but lose it, I do think they need to, at the very least, get multiple competent assistants under him who are totally capable and experienced enough to take the helm if they decide not to continue moving through the season in the future.
Yeah, I don't know. All this is to say, the Celtics have real problems right now. And they're like, again, Jason Tatum played a really good game. Like, he was excellent, you know.
And there were not a lot of bad games other than the two players you mentioned to start with. I mean, this, as far as like a Celtics response against a determined Miami ball club, this was about as good as you're going to get, particularly given the circumstances.
So we're now at this point where Jason Tatum has had two, I think, strong games in a row. The Celtics are down 0-2, and it's been the case that basically nobody has meaningfully stepped up to help him outside of a few short stretches from like a Rob Williams here, a Grant Williams there. Somebody needs to step up and help this guy out because he's done his part. The Celtics superstar has risen to the challenge. He has been exactly what you need of him, and he can even go higher. And I expect that he might. Somebody else needs to help this guy out. Whether it's the coaching, whether it's Jaylen Brown, whether it's other role players, like somebody needs to help this guy out because they're getting all that they need from him.
And they're headed to Miami now with a 0-2 series record. If I were a betting man and I wanted to try to find some odds on that, I would go where?
Well, Justin, if you were a betting man and you were trying to find odds on, I don't know, the Celtics coming back in this series and, you know, maybe laying some money on them and hoping to God that that money doesn't evaporate into thin air like the Celtics' playoff chances currently appear to be, you would probably go to FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has great promotions, it's safe and secure, and you can get paid instantly. And there is no better place to bet all of the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. For Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 for Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT for Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com for Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in LA, gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support for Massachusetts. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369 for New York, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. So, yeah, we can talk a little. I mean, I really don't even know what else I have to say. Like,
play better in game three. Ask your assistants for some help, maybe to give you suggestions on when to call a timeout, or maybe take the guy who was clearly gassed out of the game and leave the guy who is, you know, clearly being effective in the game. Like
Robert Williams, the fact that Robert Williams just didn't play meaningful minutes in the fourth quarter, I'm just not going to get over that because the Tatum Williams
pick and roll
was dicing,
devastating them
defense up. I mean, it was just destroying them. And I get it. Miami probably would have adjusted and forced some different looks, but even then, you have to keep the threat of Robert Williams in there to keep that defense honest because if they slip up once,
Spolstra is good. When he picks at the scab until it bleeds.
Yep.
And then if you fix it, he finds another scab to pick at and he keeps picking at that as long as it works.
And the Celtics made it easy for him because, again, in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler got whatever matchup he wanted in a one-on-one situation. I know to the listeners, I know that I have been repeating the same points over and over again. The reason I'm repeating the same points over and over again is because there's not much analysis to talk about with this game. The Heat won because they hammered one-on-one matchups and the Celtics didn't adjust. The yep. Celtics lost because when the Heat started bringing doubles to Tatum, nobody else stepped up to take the pressure off of him, and they didn't do anything meaningful to stack the floor in a way that made that easier for him. There's going to be a lot of chatter about like how Grant Williams poked the bear. Whatever. Jimmy Butler is going to get whatever he wants. Like, Jimmy Butler will find a way to motivate himself to get buckets. That is not the issue here. It looks embarrassing for Grant.
The damn bear. It's good that he poked the bear. Someone needed to poke the bear. Two people would have been better poking the bear.
Yeah, that's a non-issue. I don't care about that. We also did not do a good job rebounding. That has to be said as well. Again, Robert Williams probably should be on the floor for that one. Derek White had a nice game. Malcolm Brogdon did not. He was pretty absent from the proceedings. It's not like the Celtics didn't have enough to win this game. They did. They just lost it. And yeah, now they're in an 0-2 hole. Going back to Miami, I guess I'll throw it to you. What the hell can this team do to actually get back into this series?
The same thing that works for them, which is defend with the physicality and intensity that has brought them success. Try doubling a hot player. I mean, we've basically said all the things that need to happen. They need to play their A game. They can't make mistakes. And that includes the coach. There needs to be accountability, honestly. I'm not saying like we need to bring Ime Udoka back. I'm not saying that Udoka would handle the situation any better, because Lord knows he probably would be in the exact same situation. He was in this exact same situation one round further on. I don't know if there is too much to do other than play the way they're supposed to play consistently, 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 consistently.
Yeah. I don't want to hammer on one guy too much, but this is just like an absolutely unacceptable Jaylen Brown performance. I mean, I really think like if he's even slightly better, Boston probably wins that game. But outside of a couple of made shots here and there, he got absolutely crushed tonight. And it's now become clear two postseasons in a row, one of the things that you can do to attack this Celtics team and really make life hard on them is just attack Jaylen Brown's handle and bait him into driving into traffic. He has to get better at that if he wants to legitimately be the superstar that he believes he can be.
He's not worth the contract he's going to get without that skill.
And I believe that he can be that, but it's pretty wild that that area of his game just hasn't meaningfully improved. He's improved in a lot of other ways.
I'll give the hand injury the teensiest bit of an excuse, but I mean, even if it's much worse than advertised, which it could be, I mean, it did explode with blood in the last game. That in itself doesn't excuse the decision to charge into a group of three defenders and try to score through them. It's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to talk about this game. There's really not.
What about another 0-2 hole of a team with 17 banners hanging?
Yeah, I suppose we could talk about that. Denver has flat out dominated the Western Conference Finals. The Lakers have kept it close. And I think there's definitely some things that the Lakers can be optimistic about. LeBron James is looking pretty good. But Jokic has been the best player in that series, much like Jimmy Butler has been the best player in the Eastern Conference Finals. This has been two series defined by like two guys in particular rising to the challenge and really
whooping the ass of two old guard teams.
Yeah, that's right. They've completely implemented their will on this series. Nikola Jokic looks like the best player in the world, and Jimmy Butler looks like the most dangerous playoff player of like the past 5 years or something like that. I don't know. It's been remarkable to watch. I think the Lakers are in a tough spot here. Definitely. They're looking a little old. They're looking a little slow. And I think there's a little bit of Cinderella run for some of these role players coming back to earth. Denver has looked faster, more efficient, more effective. It all starts with Jokic though. He's been magnificent. And so is Jamal Murray. Shout out to Jamal Murray. You know, he, after coming back from a pretty devastating ACL injury, he took a little bit to get going in this season, but in the playoffs, he's been lights out. I fully expect that Jamal Murray will no longer be the best guard to not make an all-star team come this time next year. He's been on an absolute heater, and he's been essential to Denver's success. And, you know, to me, Denver seems like the team that's probably going to win the finals of all the remaining teams. But it's been really impressive to watch.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the Lakers had a lot of work on their roster to do this offseason if they do end up losing, even considering how well they, you know, adapted on the fly at the trade deadline. And the Celtics, they have a lot of internal work to do also if they end up getting bounced. Honestly, I think, as absurd as it might sound, a little bit of therapy might be good for these teams, some sports therapy. I don't know if that is something that you can get from our sponsor, BetterHelp. But considering that you need to spend a lot of time on yourself and life in general, and then you add in all of those bright lights and high expectations, it's really easy to get caught in what everyone else needs from you. I'm sure they could relate to what we typically say about BetterHelp, our sponsor, who does do this kind of therapy. I don't know if they do sports therapy, but they do remote therapy, which would be ideal for a team on the road, you know, dispersed out through the country doing, you know, workout sessions, not being in the finals, which, you know, we ourselves might want to consider working on our emotional health with BetterHelp. I don't mean to make light of therapy, but therapy is not just for when you are down the gutter because your wife left you. And frankly speaking, sometimes it feels like your wife left you when your team leaves you, as we have been watching the Celtics do recently. So, you know, when we give all of our time giving, you know, whether we're talking about the Celtics to us fans, or whether we're talking about ourselves to the Celtics, or whatever other context in life, whether it's something that's much more serious, like, you know, your employment situation, your relationships, or even just a daily grind of showing up at work and feeling, you know, stretched thin and burned out, therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. So, if you haven't already found a therapist in your life, and you're probably going to need one after this series, I strongly recommend that you try BetterHelp. We don't just recommend them because we think that they are going to give us money. That's, you know, certainly nice to be sponsored by them to help get this podcast going for you guys. It's also something that we really believe in because therapy, like everyone needs therapy. Everyone needs therapy. Even if you don't have anything you think going on in your life, therapy can help you. So definitely check them out. We're going to be connected with Cam very briefly through the magic of editing, but, you know, we could mention the one tiny bit of news that wasn't, you know, necessarily tied to this series, which I do not want to talk anymore about until we talk to Cam. And that's that Grant Williams is a guest speaker at the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame. I don't really know what that's about, but cool for Grant, I guess.
I'm a Nashville guy, so I'm not going to say positive words about Knoxville.
I can't expect you to say positive words about anything right now. You do have something positive coming up, though, very soon. Maybe you could let us know when it starts. You know what I'm talking about?
My other self-promotional vehicle?
Yes, your other self-promotional vehicle.
Yes. Well, if you like the music that you heard at the top of this podcast, then I would humbly ask that you consider throwing the band Divine Sweater a pre-save on Spotify for their album release coming out next Friday. That is a week from today. If you are a Brooklyn-based listener, we will be celebrating said album release at the Broadway in Brooklyn. And you can grab a ticket now on our website. Head over to divinesweater.com for all of the relevant links. But again, yeah, throw us a pre-save. You know, this is going to be a really fun summer for Divine Sweater. It might not be a fun summer for the Celtics, but we'll be out on the road. We'll be touring in all sorts of different cities in Canada, the Midwest, and on the East Coast. So if you are somebody who lives nearby one of those places and you want to have a great night of live music and fun and dancing and all sorts of interesting good times, feel free to grab a ticket today.
You should, because you'll probably be seeing a little bit less of Alex when he's on tour this summer. Because it's really hard to do a podcast when you're on the road, you know, sleeping out of a van sometimes when you can't get into your hotel room and all that fun stuff.
So it's hard to do a podcast on the road, and it's hard to get wins in the playoffs on the road, and that's exactly what the Celtics now need to do.
Well, I think we'll leave it there until Cam joins us. And yeah, through that aforementioned magic of editing, we are here with Cameron Tabatabai, who has been wallowing in the misery of the players who are clearly exhibiting extreme examples of accountability. And no, that's probably not what's happening.
Hi, everyone. Missoula was the same in that he just said, you know, they beat us on X's and O's. They beat us in the margins. He was curt. Although, well, I'll get to that later.
I know exactly what you're getting to, but continue.
That he actually apologized for cutting someone off?
Yes.
Yeah, he's rattled. He's rattled, dude. No, I don't know. I mean, it was a perfectly fine press conference. He didn't seem too animated in any one direction. Jalen, who is very good at this, I wish it showed up in the game, but tremendous job summarizing the situation. We got to play tougher. There's no reason we can't win two games in Miami, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of good platitudes delivered earnestly. And then
I want to talk about my favorite one, though.
Sure, go for it.
Next question.
Oh, yeah, I actually do want to talk about that. We're talking about Grant Williams. Let's get to that in a moment. Jason was so upbeat that Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe said, Jason, you're surprisingly upbeat. And he said, look, it's a tremendous opportunity in front of us. We can go win 4 out of 5 games. Let's go do it. He was, and I talked to him after that about summer camp for Deuce. I mean, he seems like he's calm and collected. So the mood was tense, but the actual press conferences were, you wouldn't think that this is a team down 0-2, which I have recently learned teams that are 0-2 only come back from that sort of deficit 9.6% of the time. So that's both a very small number and 9.7, excuse me. 1 in 10 times the team comes back. So, okay, that's not crazy.
Odds don't work like this, but we did mention before you got on the pod, too, about how it has been done before by the Boston Celtics against a Jimmy Butler-led team, but that was a decade ago.
And then the only time it's happened with the Celtics was in, 2017 is what you're talking about. The only other time was in 1969, but it was in the NBA Finals. And one time in 1990, the Celtics were up 2 games over the Knicks, and the Knicks won the series 3-2.
I think it was in 2015 or 16. No, it could have been 2017, but yeah, it was in the first round.
2017. And then in 2018, the Celtics blew a 2-0 lead, but that's not as fun.
No. I'm not entirely sure whether I feel good or bad about them being relaxed coming out of this, because on one hand, you don't want them to be completely freaking out and in panic mode. But on the other hand, some greater sense of urgency, at least from Jason, would also feel appropriate, if maybe not be as helpful.
Jason had almost like an hour before he spoke to the media, so maybe he was in his feels and he moved on from that.
Sure.
It was certainly frustrating, but like he wasn't, you know, giddy. He was thoughtful. And I think he opened up a little bit in the press conference itself. So being down 2-0 is not being down 3-0, is not being down 4-0. I guess maybe there is a consistent theme that immediacy doesn't like deeply register with them, and maybe they could actually stand to be a little more dramatic, to your point. But I do think they had a chance to dwell on it. This is a team, Jason's been to 4 Eastern Conference Finals before, so it's not like his first trip around the sun. So, I don't know. I'm not going to play armchair psychologist too much there.
Nah.
It is what it is. Look, the Celtics played like dog shit in the fourth quarter, but also the Miami Heat as an 8 seed are on some sort of like crazy Cinderella run. Jimmy Butler is a poor man's Michael Jordan right now, and if Max Strus, Caleb Martin, and Gabe Vincent just want to play like animals, great. And also Bam was great. Like, the Heat were great. So I suspect that that's an element here where the Celtics recognize that there's a team that is playing really, really well, and it's not the Celtics.
So what do you attribute this What was your main takeaway from this? Because on our, well, I'll tell you what ours was afterwards, but without poisoning the well, you give me your understanding of how this game was lost or won, lost by the Celtics or won by the Heat.
I'm going through a transcript right now to see where I really think the wheels came off. I mean, Jason was great in the third quarter. He had like 15 or 16. I know he had 15 or 16 points, and then suddenly he just didn't really have it. Let's see where Boston's lead started disappearing. I don't think the Grant Jimmy Butler thing, it wasn't like they ignited the beast or anything like that. Jimmy Butler's, he doesn't need you to light his fuse. He lights that thing himself. I do think Grant was a problem. He just like offensively was problematic. At times he wasn't. At times he kind of floated the Celtics. In the fourth quarter, however.
I think the problem with Grant was his defense on Jimmy. And I think that the fact that, so for us, what we came to a conclusion for, with, particularly with Grant, was a combination of two things. Minor but significant repeated coaching mistakes. Strange decisions to leave Al in when he clearly wasn't having it. And probably most importantly, just poor late game execution, which wasn't helped by the coaching decisions, but really ultimately just really predictable, stupid mistakes like Jalen dribbling into three players, losing the ball. Just very, very obvious things that by now, you know, I'm not trying to single Jalen out particularly, but there were many examples of that that really, at this point, they should just know.
Yeah, I mean, Jason had a nice quote where he said Joe didn't miss shots, Joe didn't have turnovers. Like,
yeah,
maybe the personnel was a little wonky. I hate how often this goes back to this Philly series, the Celtics just let James Harden and Jimmy Butler get guys completely isolated on an island and roll the dice. That seems like a really stupid formula that keeps affording itself to the visiting team or the other team anyways. I can't find myself blaming the coach too much because the Celtics are really talented and they're not one wrong player away. Yes, Jimmy hunted Grant and successfully so, but the Celtics need to score more. 36 is too much to give up in the fourth quarter, but 22 is too few to score. And if Jason Tatum is going to take three field goals and score no points in the quarter, that's a bigger problem. And I don't know that Jason wears that. I mean, he had a ton of turnovers. He does wear it a lot. But I also think that for a team with two All-NBA players, that their offense is not relentless in the fourth quarter the way it ought to be. It's the worst version of your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn, when it should be everybody eats because all we're doing is setting each other up. They once again, just when the zone sets up shop, they don't do the right thing. They did at the beginning. They like really forced
the issue. They had some really good examples of cutting to break the zone, of using skip passes to break a zone, of shooting over the zone. I mean, they found ways to beat it early, and then they started using the pick and roll fairly effectively, and then they went away from it.
Yeah, and I don't know. There were a bunch of instances tonight where the Celtics called a timeout, and then Miami went on a 5-0 run, so the timeout thing bothers me to no end, least of which Miami gets a timeout during the timeout, and Miami's really good at using timeouts, so what do you want?
Timeouts, that you can't just stop play and expect magic to happen. You have to have a play that you run that is successful. And if you don't do that, you just go right back into it, then yeah, a lot of times having a timeout is not going to have an effect. Like, when we talk about the studies of all timeouts, you know, like when we talk about whether timeouts being called, like for example, during a run, a lot of times they are not effective. There is no, when taken generally, they're not that effective. But you can do things with timeouts that aren't necessarily reflected in runs, like get a quick breather, comment on something else that you could be doing, change the strategy and run a play. I mean, there's ways you can make a timeout to be more than just, like, from what we've heard in past games, where there isn't anyone calling any plays and there isn't anything being done that you have five different voices calling for what should be done. I don't think that that's a sustainable approach. Like, we're not trying to hang Joe out to dry here necessarily either, but the humility that we saw, I think, in that exchange with Gary Washburn that you mentioned is a good example of it dawning on Joe that these moments require a lot of learning on the fly, even if you are as accomplished as someone like Spo is, for example. I hope we see some of that put into practice in game three.
I don't know. I just, every year there are teams that are supposed to be good, and then there's obvious bad mojo around the team, and then it's like, oh, that's why they lost, because there's bad mojo. And like, the Bucks feel like a team like that this year, and maybe it's just,
I think, oh, are you there?
Are you back? I think I'm here. Am I here?
Yeah, you're here. Let's get out of here. I don't know how much more there is to add.
I have something I have to say. Hold on.
Do it to it.
Earlier in the podcast, a bunch of people just sat as close to me as you could sit to someone obviously recording a podcast. And not only was I obviously distracted if you're watching YouTube, but someone said to someone else that bears and raccoons are related, and that's not true. Raccoons are a member of the order Mustelid, and bears are from the order Ursidae. They're not particularly related. They're all
mammals.
They're carnivores. They're from Carnivora, but they're not particularly related. So if anyone was confused, raccoons and bears aren't related. And if you picked that up on this hot mic, I'm sorry you had to live with that confusion for 3 or 4 minutes.
It's the most important thing to take away from this game, honestly.
If you want to know more fun facts about how animals are related, please reach out to me. I wish I had a podcast on that tonight. This episode of the Celtics Lab podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and FanDuel and BetterHelp. You deserve to be happy.
We do deserve to be happy, damn it.
Yeah. It's Willamette, damn it. All right. I'll tell you something off air. Adios. Thanks. Like and subscribe.